If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I've entitled this, because it is the context here, Order in the Church. Okay, so basically what Paul's going to do in these verse 2 through 16, because verse 1 goes with chapter 10, because the chapters are man-made, so you got to remember that. So, anyway, he's going to try to restore order in a Corinth church, okay? And so this morning, a theme will obviously be how to have order in the church, but also I'm going to strongly apply this to how to have order in the home, how to have order in marriage. Really, the three things we're going to look at this morning is how to have order even in society. Now, society's not going to listen to God, so but really, these three things is how to have order really in anything. So, to have order, three elements are essential. You gotta have three things. You gotta have structure, you have to have submission, and you have to have people striving for the same goals, on the same objectives, okay? And most of you can, if you think about that long enough, you can, even in a workforce, you gotta have somebody that's a boss, you gotta have somebody who, is submitting to what the boss says, and the boss and the workers have to be going after the same objective, okay? So this morning, we're going to talk about that in a church and also the home. Now, here's the context. There's disorder in the church, okay? And this is just verse 2 through 16 is just one of the many things he's going to address. Like, you probably see it in your Bible. You'll see in verse 17 or 23, communion and the Lord's Supper. Okay, so there's many things that's going wrong. So, obviously, he's going to address one of the reasons was women was going too far and men were too in their liberty, in their freedom. Okay, now, the context here, women in the Eastern culture wore a something over their head. A shawl, not a veil, but something over their head that covered their head. And the women in the church, maybe because of the Christian liberty, that are free in Christ, started not wearing them, okay? Well, it obviously caused a big disruption in the church. And on top of that, you also had men who were wearing things over their head, okay? Now, in our society now, this doesn't make a lot of sense to us, okay? But it did then, and it was something that was very much was really upsetting the church. Now, I'll go ahead and say this. This text here, if I was going to preach a sermon and pick a text, I would not pick this one. But that's what's so wonderful about preaching through a book of the Bible systematically is that this text here is something I would never address if I was just jumping around. But because it was the next thing on my list, or the next thing in the Bible, I have to preach it. But because it is difficult, and if you were to take any time to open some commentary, this is what you're going to see. Miss Janet, you're going to see this. Make sure you're listening. All right? So, but Don's not here to keep you straight. So, anyway. But what you're going to see is that most commentaries say something like this. We're not sure what this means. Or there's debate. There's five different theories of what this verse means. So anytime that happens, it kind of puts me in a tailspin. Because it's just really difficult. So what do I do? Do I tell you every scenario? Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think that's going to be the best way to approach this. So this morning, I'm going to say this. We're not going to cover every verse and explain every verse today, okay? One reason that's like 16 or 15 verses we'd have to cover. We don't have the time for that. Well, I do, but you may not. I could preach for an hour and a half if you want me to. My brother Daryl don't want that, so I got that right. He said he don't want that. So anyway, so we are going to cover some things, but I do believe we're going to hint on what the heart of this message is. And because it's talking about something that is so foreign to us in customs, it's also difficult. But what I do want to do is focus on what we do understand. Because what happens a lot of time is, as Christians, we love to focus on what we don't understand. And instead of doing what we know. So anyway. So here's the thing. What we do know, there was not order. Church didn't have any order. Due to, first, the women uncovering their heads, mainly when they prayed and prophesied, and the men were covering their heads. So Paul gives here a recipe for order. Number one, you have to recognize God's structure. So if you want to have order, and the only thing we can control is church and home, we can't really control, I mean, if you're a boss, I guess you could, at the workplace. But if you want to have if you want to have order and peace, you have to recognize God's structure. The first thing we see here is the revelation of God's structure. Look at verse 3. And it says this, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So basically here, he's given a structure for the church. He says this, Christ is the head of man is the head of woman, and then he says this, God is the head of Christ. Now, I thought it was interesting. Take notice of the order. Paul put God last. And you know, you would have thought he said, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. But that's not how he did it. John Phillips said, he placed this statement after the one when it says the head of the woman is man, as though to soften any possible blow to the woman's pride. Basically, you know, if you start reading that, and the last one, you know, woman is supposed to submit to the man. Huh? But then he goes on to say, but Christ, the head of Christ, is God. And what's interesting is that even God himself, even the Godhead, has an element of submission inside of it. I mean, we know Jesus submitted to the Father, which tells us, so you know, in case you're a woman activist or anything like that, submission does not mean you're less. I mean, I worked for Brother Jeff Jones, and even here, you are my boss, but so is the board. But I worked for Brother Jeff Jones, and I had to submit to him every day for 6 years. And there were things I didn't want to do for him. But that didn't make me less of a person. Submission does not lessen your value, okay? You submit, everybody submits to something in this life. So anyway, but even God himself, Jesus himself submitted. So, basically I want to say, it's not wrong to have leadership. So anyway, so here's the thing though. A lot of times, I'm just going to say this, women will say something like, well, it'd be a lot easier to submit, it'd be a lot easier for me to listen if Christ was my boss and not a man. Can I be honest with you? I am a man, and it's not even easier. I struggle every day to submit to Christ. Like, my wife won't submit to me, but guess what? It's probably, I know it's difficult for her, because I'm probably pretty difficult to live with, but Christ being my head, and it's just as difficult. Because you know what? I got some pretty big shoes to fill. And if you're a husband here, you have big shoes to fill. They're pretty daunting tasks, actually. Just think about that. So we see here there's God's structure for the church. But now, let's look at God's structure for the home. And if you go to Ephesians, because like I said, I couldn't help but go in this direction and I'm thinking about this. And it says here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says here, the structure, and let's look here at verse 23. And I wrote it down like this. The husband is the head of the wife, and he is to love his wife. Look in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church. Now go with me to verse 25. Husband, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for you. Now we preached a long sermon in 1 Peter about all this, okay? But, so that's the thing I want you to understand, is that the structure is not just about submission, not about me being the head. The man is both the husband, is supposed to be the head of the home, and he is both to love his wife as himself, okay? Then, the second thing we see here is that the wife is to follow and respect her husband. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and see the wife see that she reverence her husband. Remember that book I told you about, love and respect? What men want the most from their wife is respect. And they even said in that book that a man could his wife could say, okay, you got two choices. I can love you for the rest of your life, or I can respect you. Every man is going to say respect. You know, original Franklin song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, that was written by a man. Okay, just so you know that. A woman, if I went up to my wife and said, okay, Elizabeth, I can love you for the rest of my life, or I can respect you. A wife is going to say, she's going to say, love me. Sounds like God knew what he was talking about. That's psychology. They've studied that. And the Bible said a man is supposed to lead and love, and a woman is supposed to follow and respect. That is God's structure for the home. But we even go a little further. Children, in chapter 6, are to obey and honor their parent. How many homes have you seen that is destroyed because the children will not obey and honor? And if you are a child living at home, that is your responsibility. That's the structure. Your home may not be, you may not hate your home so much, if you have to do, listen to your parents and honor them. Parents, though, look at verse 4. Oh, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was supposed to in verse 4, yeah. And bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parent, now you see a lot of parents and family that the kids are on their own, you know, doing their own thing. When I saw some kids walking down the road at Kingsport, down here, just by themselves, about 6 or 4 kids, 12 years old, 16, you know, no care in the world. I mean, I would not let my, I don't have a kid, I mean, I wouldn't let my dog walk around by themselves now. They're all going missing. Let alone the kid. But what's happening? We're not following God's structure. God's structure for the home and for us, for our parent to nourish and teach their kids. It's amazing all the problems come down to these things. Here's the thing. Husbands don't love, wives don't respect, children don't obey, and parents don't love and nourish their children and instruct them. It's interesting, and the things that God commanded here for husband, wives, and children is what deep down we all desire the most. Women desire love and to be taken care of. You know, I know that's contrary to what the society tells us now. Husband, for the most part, have a desire to lead and to be respected. Children want to be loved and nourished and cared for. You know, it's almost like God knew and understood us. You know, He did, because He created us. See, following God's structure brings order. Whether in the church or at home, that brings order. We've got to recognize God's structure. Letter B here is the rejection of God's structure. The rejection. So, we say, in our text here, we see the exhortation. Here's the thing. Why did Paul review this? Why did Paul write, and go back to 1 Corinthians there, in verse 11, why did he explain them in verse 3, disorder? Well, all I know, my mom and dad talked to me about something and reviewed something with me, and because I wasn't doing it. You know, like, son, I told you to take out the trash. You know why he told me that again? Because I didn't do it. So it's the same thing here. And they, or some form of fashion, were rejecting this structure of God. Here's the condemnation in verse 4. It said, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now that last head is not his physical head, but his head, Christ, okay? So a little play on one. The first one said, when you cover your head, you're dishonoring your head, which is Christ, okay? Just take my word for that. Paul condemns the woman in verse 5, says, but every woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, which means husband. For that even all one if she were shaven. Paul condemned that. Both of these things, we may not completely understand it, but according to Paul, a man who prays with his head covered and a woman who prays with her head uncovered is illustrating that they are not following God's structure for submission. Because the head being uncovered, I'll say in a minute, represents that he's submitting to God. And the head covered means that the wife is submitting to her husband. And that is, let's go to the third thing here, the explanation. In Eastern society, at that time, people were very jealous over its women, except for the temple prostitutes. These women wore long hair and wore it uncovered. Okay, so I think that even today, that most husbands and church would have a problem with a lady in a church doing something that a prostitute does. I think we can understand that, right? I mean, you know, I think we would. I know I would. I don't have a problem with my wife doing that. I think if my wife did something like that, it would be a lack of respect for me. Well, that's what's happening here. Now, for us, it don't make any big deal. To us, it's just a do-rag, you know? How we used to call them, do-rags, you know? But that's what's happening. So for a woman put on a covering to symbolize her submission and purity. A woman honors her hand by wearing it. It was a symbol of, it's the fact that I understand that I am to submit to my husband. Now, here, let's go a little further, though. Now, because a covering represented submission to another man, what would that translate for a man wearing that? When he stood in front of God to pray and prophesy, and he had a covering on his head, what he's saying is, I'm submissive to some other person. And God's saying, no. You're supposed to submit to me. By the way, that's how in marriage or even in church, that's how it's going to work. If in a perfect world, if the husband is completely submitted to God, then his wife is going to like that. And if the wife is completely submitted to her husband, he's going to like that. It's going to work. Now, the problem is we live in a sin-cursed world, and neither party do that like they're supposed to. But that's what he's saying, and that's why he had a problem with it. So here's what I'm saying, is that they had rejected God's structure. Here's the thing. We have a tendency to do the same thing, whether in church, but especially in marriage. We have a tendency. A man, husband, have a tendency not to submit to God. I mean, husbands have a tendency to not want to love their wives as themselves. Same thing with wives. Wives have a tendency not to want to submit to the husband. And that's fine. But when you do that, it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. So that leads me to the third thing. We see the revelation. We see the rejection. Now look at the reward. The reward for rejecting God's structure. Some of you may be sitting right here and saying, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to submit to God. I'm definitely not going to submit to my husband. Well, there's a reward for that. There's a reward for that. See, man answered to Christ, and a woman answered to man. Now, I'm going to read a quote. Stay with me. I'm not sure if it's John Phillips or Robert Piccirillo. I can't remember now. I didn't write it down. This does not imply male superiority, nor does it in fact imply female inferiority. It simply states to be a fact in a respective role in society, in home, and in the church that God ordained order and states of affairs. Basically saying here, God is what God said. Now here's what I want you to get. No amount of argument is going to change it. All attempt to defy it can only lead to, listen, I underline this, breakdown and chaos. In other words, God has a structure. You can reject it. You can argue about it. But at the end of the day, all it's going to bring is chaos. That's the reward for not following God's structure. That's it. That's the reward for not rejecting God's structure. Is chaos. You know, I think there's one thing we can agree on. To have order and peace, there has to be structure, and there has to be someone in charge. If not, there will not be order, if not followed. And for example, when a person purchases an appliance or a piece of equipment, it normally comes with manufacturer's instructions and warranty. The manufacturer knows the nature and complexity of the equipment better than anyone. After all, he designed and made it. And if the instructions come with a warning, press button A before button B, and because he knows and designed it. And if the instructions are followed, you have peace. If not, what happens? There's chaos, right? Well, and the writer goes on to say this, human life and society are far more complex than any man-made appliance. We would do well to heed to the maker's instructions. God said this. He stated that the head of man is Christ, and the head of woman is man. And that's the way things are. If followed, it brings order to church, home, and even kids' life. You know why? Because God made us. He understands us. I purposely ran over a squirrel in the car the other day. And I went, yeah, I got it. My wife said, oh, no. But I said, you know what I said, though? I said, that's why God designed a family to be a man and a woman. Because both of us together complement each other. And if you have kids, You know, if I was to raise a kid, he'd turn out to be a sniper. You know, if my wife raised one, I mean, I don't know what he would do. Just sit around in a bubble. God knows. God made us. See, everybody, today, there's an attack on the male and female. And that there's no such thing, but there is. And God understands that. And we both, I mean, a man can do things a woman can't. But a woman can do things that a man can't. Why do you want to do something different? Why do you want people? God designed us to be different and to bring different things to the table. I mean, when I worked at that church, we had 6 or 7 staff members. But the boss didn't hire the same person or the same people just alike. He wanted different people to have different ability to complement each other. Well, the same thing's true in a marriage or with man and female, in that he brought us together and made us different to where we can complement each other. God knows what he's doing. Yet, our society rejects that. Our society rejects that a child needs a mom and a dad. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about divorce. When you get a divorce, come on, a child don't need mom and dad all the time. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That's what they need. I mean, and think about how many issues, I mean, whether it could be helped or not, how many issues about kids come back because they're divorced. You know, society rejects that a man needs to be the head and that the woman needs to follow. When you think about most of the sitcoms you saw growing up, most of the time the man is a bozo. No. And the woman's the one always in charge. No, the man's supposed to be in charge. One of the saddest things, in my opinion, is for a kid not to live in the same house as his mom and dad and put them at a disadvantage. What's sad to me is when a wife who won't follow her husband or wants to follow her husband, but the husband won't lead. But what's sad, too, is a husband who wants to lead, but the wife won't follow. Oh, I mean, there's some husband who just sit back, well, and the wife just wants the husband to do something. See, it's just as bad the other way it is. I mean, it is bad when a woman won't follow a man, but it's just as bad when a man won't take the lead. He's supposed to. Here's the reality. To have order in church, but also in the home, you have to recognize and accept God's structure, and that's it. Now, there's an attack on that. There's an attack from a man being a man, a woman being a woman. There's an attack on a man and woman being together forever. There's an attack on all of it. But that is the structure. And I forgot it's one of my notes, but the world's way is not doing too good, is it? Now, what the world says do not turn out too good. So just think about that. To have order in your home, and these last 2 points are shorter than the first one, you have to know the structure, but you also have to demonstrate submission. Second thing here, you have to demonstrate submission. See, the husband demonstrated submission. And in verse 4 and 7, we're not going to read them, I already read them for the sake of time. But the husband was to pray with his head uncovered. So, obviously, he is to leave his head uncovered in order to display his headship. You're like, that's all it's about him leading. But hold on, listen. And also acknowledges the headship of Christ. So the idea when a man, you know, if he has something on, if he took it off to pray, and wasn't so much saying, I'm in charge, and saying, Christ is in charge of me. Man, what a humbling thought. See, apparently, it was obviously the man leaving his head covered. Remember that he doesn't have, he has an uncovered, meaning he doesn't have a human authority, but the fact that Christ is his authority. See, while he's praying with his head uncovered, and I don't understand all this, to be honest with you, but he demonstrated, according to Paul, he demonstrated that he was submitting to the Almighty God. And the last time I checked, if I read the Bible, if a man or a husband would have that attitude every second of his life and could follow that perfectly, he'd be the perfect husband. Because he was submitted to the Word of God. But you know what's interesting? It's a shocking command. Because, just so you know, the Jewish tradition was for men to pray with a cap on their head. So, in essence, for a Jew to pray with his head uncovered would be saying that Christ is the answer, not the law. Because they used to, when in the Jewish country, they put a little hat on, and they would open the law, and they would start reading it. But now under the New Testament, under grace, They take the covering off to represent the law not going to save them, and that's not their authority, Christ is. And that would be very, so you know, that would probably be very hard for a Jew to do that, because they were steeped in their traditions. So then we see, so here's the thing, for home, or for a church to operate correctly, the leaders, the husband, ought to submit to God. Letter B is, the wife is to demonstrate submission. Oh, by the way, let me go back. Just so you know, it's when you're following God's order, there's submission on both parts. Remember when I talked about 1 Peter? I did how I summed it up. The man or the wife is supposed to submit to the choices of the husband. Remember that sermon? But the husband is supposed to submit to the, y'all remember? The needs of the wife. And remember that verse said in 1 Peter, said, study to know your wife. So I told y'all, we got the hard part. We got to study you and then figure out what you need and then submit to it. All you got to do is submit to what we say. Y'all got the easy job. But anyway, but my point is, submission is a two-way street. Okay, so I want you to understand that, okay? I want you to know that. So anyway, that's the whole other sermon. But the wife is to demonstrate submission as well. She, in verse 5, it says, she needs to pray with her head covered. Obviously, we talk about the reason. But what that did, when she prayed with her head covered, is a demonstration that she is submitting, not so much to the man, but to the structure of what God said. Because God said, you also submit to the husband. And a demonstration. Now, I am demonstrating submission. And by the way, that was not shocking for women. They've been doing that. And by the way, just so you say, that's just terrible. I've already said it. The only people who run around with their head uncovered were prostitutes. And they also would cut their heads, hair short, too. I mean, that's why it said, we're not going to get to it. And that's why it said, if you're not going to cover your head, then go ahead and shave your head. Basically, that's what a prostitute would do. The woman is also to demonstrate submission to her husband at home and in the church. According to Paul, both of them would bring order. I know there's some resistance to this, but calling for society, but I want you to understand God is the one that said it. And by the way, look at what society's producing. It's not good for man or woman. But you know, I went to a podcast about something and talked about, you know, basically the sexual revolution and Hollywood and how many people or how many women are being sexually abused now. But and I thought he went into all the why that in, but it's the culture we live in. And it's just, I won't even say something he said, but it was astonishing. Because he was a Christian. And I'm just like, and it made a lot of sense. Society is not for women. Not at all. They're not protecting women. Look at the news. Like, this free sex movement is not. What's amazing is God said, for a man, see, we always want to focus on what God said for the woman. Yeah, the woman said submit to a man. But God said, I want a man to take one woman and to love her for the rest of his life, protect her, provide for her. I think that is a little better than, hey, just go sleep with whoever you want to. Don't you think so? I don't think Hollywood's way is really protecting women. I think the Word of God, man, he got it right. So think about that. Here's the thing. God's waiting for a woman to submit to man, who is submitting to God, and to love a woman as his own. When both are submitting to God's structure, it's a wonderful thing. Much better than any of the philosophy that the world has come up with. Submission, I got ahead of myself. Submission is to be a part of everybody, in the man and the woman. Look at verse 11 and 12 in our text. He even said this, nevertheless, just in case you're thinking it's all, you know, hating on women, he said this. Even Paul said this. Nevertheless, is the man without the woman, neither the man on the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Obviously, he goes into creation, how that man was not made from woman, but woman made from man. But he basically said this, he makes it neither man or woman is independent of the other. Both are from God. The relationship is determined by God alone, not by any absolute power that then one has. No one has absolute power. The bottom line is to have order in the church and at home. Everybody must demonstrate submission to God's structure and in God's way. And this is where I got ahead of myself. A man is to submit to Christ and the wife needs. A woman is to submit to Christ and to her husband's choices. And that's out of 1 Peter. We're going to look it up later. Look it up online or somewhere on there. First year with the two Sundays. God's structure works. The problem lies with our sin on every party involved. To have order in the church and at home, and really society, you must know God's structure. You must demonstrate submission. And thirdly, you have to strive for the same objectives. To have order in the church or home, or anything for that matter, people involved have to strive for the same objectives. I've used this before when I was one of my favorite movies as a kid. And it's on Disney Plus, but it's not up yet. It's coming later in the year. It's The Mighty Ducks. The Mighty Ducks. And I think it was the Mighty Ducks 2, the U.S. team. But they were all fighting. And so Captain Bombay puts a rope around and ties them up. And they're in a big circle. And they all fight different ways. And they all fall down. And what he was trying to teach you was that you got to go in the same direction. You got to work together. You got to have the same thing. That one want to go here. One want to go there. One want to go there. And there was no peace. There was no order. But when they all were bundled up, when they all said, okay, we're going to go for the door. We're going to have the same goal. Then they would escape together in that big old circle. And the same thing's true in church. And I'll say it. Church, well, again, all church need to have one objective. Or really three. To see people saved. To see them baptized. And teach them how the Bible says they should live. That is what we should be about. Anything else is secondary. And so, in secondary, on my part and your part, we need to make sure we don't make too big of a deal about it. Okay? But, and as a home, and even what it really comes down to, really, here it is. For marriage, for home, for church, is to honor Christ. So, let's look at the problem here. The problem is that, it says it negatively, but what's interesting to me, in verse 4, this is what he says, that the man, in the last part, dishonors his head, which means Christ. And he said the problem here, that you're not focused on honoring Christ. You're dishonoring him. Same thing for the woman. He says the same thing. And then when a woman uncovers her head, he says she's dishonoring her head, which was the husband, but ultimately, God. The reason there was disorder in the church is because they were not striving to honor God. They read about, oh, grace, I can do anything. I got Christian liberty. We talked about that for 5 or 6 weeks. And so they just want to do what they want. And Paul said, well, let's reel this back in. Your objective, no matter how free you are, is to honor Christ. Now think about that for a minute. Think about how much, all church has, I think, a good bit of peace, but like, you know, the devil wants to creep in. I've even seen it with little things here and there. The devil would love to destroy what we have here. You know, I mean, he would love for me to get so exasperated, I just left. Because I'm not exasperated, but I'm just saying, like that. Because the devil does lie. Not that I think I'm a great preacher. The devil does not like people preaching the Word of God. And when you systematically preach through the Word of God and don't do topical, we're learning the Word of God today. And that's one thing that I'll stand behind. The devil doesn't like this right now. So we need to make sure that our objective is to honor Christ. But think about this. Think about if I woke up, and my marriage is not perfect. My wife wants you to think that, but I'll go and tell you it's not. She thinks everybody else's marriage is perfect. But I tell her, you're just crazy. Anyway, so, if I woke up, as a husband today, I'm going to honor Christ. And if my wife woke up, today, ultimately, I'm going to honor Christ, and he wants me to honor my husband. So I'm going to do that today. You know what? We have a perfect day. Because that's what God wants us to do. That should be our objective. The problem, that's not our objective a lot of time. When I wake up sometimes, and my objective basically is, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. And my wife's the same way, and she won't admit that, but it is. So anyway, I can't speak for her, but I can only speak for myself. But think about it. The reason so many homes and even churches are devoid of order and peace and that the church members are not wanting to honor Christ or in the home, neither spouse or just one of the spouses want to honor Christ. We will never be a church of order or a home of order if all the parties involved are not striving for the same objective. and that is to honor Christ. We see the problem. Obviously, we see the plea. And we'll just say verse 4 and 5, I already read it. And basically, he stated in the negative. But what he's saying in a nutshell, he's saying, husband, you ought to honor Christ when you're in the church by keeping your head uncovered. Ladies, you ought to honor Christ, ultimately, by keeping your head covered. That was his plea. That was his plea. I mean, he goes on in verse 11 through 16. Read it later. I mean, he goes through it, and that is what he is pleading. No matter the organization, to have a group of that has order, we must strive for the same objectives. This is true of the church and the home, which should be to honor Christ. The wife who has a husband whose goal is to honor Christ will have a good marriage, and the husband who has a wife's goal is to honor Christ. The problem that many times only one or neither spouses are striving for the same objective. So my application this morning to this last point is as a church, I hope that your objective, all objective need to be to honor Christ. And if you're married, your objective needs to be to honor Christ. Not about, I think I put it somewhere. You know, your marriage, you know, it's not for, not to make you happy. The purpose of your marriage is not to have fun. Your purpose in your marriage, I read by one person, it's not about being happy. Your marriage is about becoming more like Christ. Your objective in your marriage should be to honor Christ. So in conclusion, to have order, you must know God's structure, you must submit to it, and you must strive for the same objective. And if you'll do that, and in a context here in church, we'll have order and peace. And if you'll do that in your home, you'll have peace and order. Let's stand to our feet with our eyes closed and hands bowed as the piano player comes up just to have an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity. I know you can pray at home or in your seat, but I do want to take a moment for us to reflect on this. Hey, what about you? Maybe it's the last one. Maybe you're like me. I wonder sometimes, even as a pastor, I always try to honor God in my preaching, but am I honoring God in my personal life? Am I honoring, as a church, or are we honoring Christ? You know, I've shared it already. I'm going to share it right now. But there's a couple of different things I want to do this year to honor Christ by us growing in the Lord, you know, and also reaching to other people. We need to honor Christ as a church. Let me ask you, think about it. Are we honoring Christ as a church? If all we're doing is coming together and meeting and taking up an offering, are we honoring Christ? Is that our objective today? It needs to be to honor Christ. Hey, in your marriage, maybe you're not. Maybe you don't have the right objectives. Your objective should be to honor Christ. Maybe you're rejecting God's structure. You can reject it all day, but it still is what it is because God said it. And they begin to play. I'm not going to repeat my sermon. But if they begin to play, if God spoke to you, I would challenge you, hey, come down here and talk to God.